Hello and welcome to Dinosaur Man News and Reviews. I'm Andy Hughes, I'm here with Alex Hudson.
Here's a nice normal girl an ordinary world.
What is this? Show us your fangs. Yay, Mona. Yeah, that's right, it's Mona the Vampire lyrics. Do you want the rest of it or no?
What?
Life goes on like it's weird. Soon it's everything you fear. Show us your fangs.
Hey, Mona.
Yay, Mona, you I just did that. Grab your cat, grab your cape, boogeyman, there's no escape. Give a heebie-jeebie grin, fight those nasties till you win. Ah!
Today we'll be reviewing the films Booksmart.
Yes.
And Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Okay. King of Monsters?
Or King of the Monsters, whichever one it is.
I don't even
King
know.
Of the Monsters you, seems too wordy.
Get your cinema ticket out, your paper ticket that you carry around with you. Get it out of that frame on the wall. I know you've got a framing...
I know people who do that, like, yeah. Have like pin boards or whatever.
Here's the thing. It drove me and my last girlfriend apart slightly.
Okay.
Like memories, you know, for losers.
What, like a memory box?
Fucking anyone who's like, oh, I should keep this for memories. Why? Memories are useless. Memories are for trash. Pictures. That's what you want. Mm. Take a picture and then keep it on your phone where it doesn't take up any physical space, right?
Yeah.
Physical space is at a premium right now. And this was when I was living in London, so double premium. Mm. The premium of the premium. Anyway, get that fucking picture frame off the wall. Get that Godzilla King of Monsters or the Monsters.
We'll find out soon.
Okay. Well, we won't because I'm never going to check this.
No.
Okay. Gaming?
Yes, please.
Gaming is the name of the games and I want to see some news with you.
He brought it back.
Gaming isn't very fun if you don't play with the two. These are the ways we play our games, and these are the way we play our games, and it's the gaming news with you and me. Bruce Forsyth, rest in peace, forever and a day. No one else has died for me to... Actually, loads of people have died. This podcast is dedicated to Jose Antonio Reyes.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, sincerely. Every week, I'll choose a different dead person. Next week... Could be Gandhi. Who knows? Could be. He qualifies. Famous. Dead. Perfect. Well, not perfect, obviously. But he was far from perfect. There's a lot of bad news with Gandhi. Anyway.
Well, there's some good gaming news though, yeah, hopefully.
Okay, so people are figuring out that the dead chickens in Skyrim can be used as storage.
What?
Okay, so Skyrim, 8 years old.
Mm.
People are still figuring out that you can actually use the dead chickens as storage space for items.
Hmm.
So it means that you could drag a chicken behind you. If you're overladen with with Daedric maces, you could shove light elven armor inside of a dead chicken. Along with a,
how much?
I don't know, with an orcish greatsword.
Like, just unlimited items.
I think.
Because.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Because. They don't have the chests. There's no item limit, is there? So, for instance, this person inside the chicken here, they have put, an ebony war axe, an ebony war hammer. An iron war axe, an ebony greatsword, an iron sword, and an ancient greatsword. The lightest of those items, I believe, weighs 11.
The great thing about that is, like, obviously there's a suspension of disbelief when you play games, but I like to imagine what would that look like if you could actually see it. It's just like this chicken carcass being dragged behind. Just like loads of weapons just hanging out of its body. Just like, don't look at this. Nothing to see here.
Mm.
You know, there's loads of jewels just inside of it.
So, yeah, you can chuck a...
I love it when, like, these things happen where, like, there's been a game that's been out for, like, ages and then somebody finds something completely new that they can do.
Mm-hmm. Although, of course, this is far... Apparently, according to whichever website I'm on, Games Radar.
Mm-hmm.
Little plug for Games Radar because I know that they need the listens. It's far from the weirdest thing you can do in Skyrim.
That is true.
In this game, you can find a necromancer who will fight you using a resurrected dead chicken. How many things are stored in that chicken, though? That's a real question.
You just keep putting stuff out.
What's he been putting
like
in
it? Like a magician.
Ah, maybe that's it. Yeah, he's like a necromancer. He's a magician of torps.
That's what they like to be.
Of torps. Yes. Of torps he is. He's a torps, a magician of torps. Anyway, that's gaming news for this week.
Other news is that apparently the Avengers game that Square Enix are working on should be released, like not released, but like actually shown at E3, which is something I'm really looking forward to.
I care not for Square Enix, I care not for Avengers, and I care not for E3. So naturally, E3, I'll be reporting E3, on that when it
you're gonna be so
launches.
Busy.
Well, I'm going to LA. Is it in LA?
Is it San Francisco?
That makes sense. In Silicon Valley.
Was that Comic Con or does Comic Con move?
San Diego.
San Diego Comic Con.
Maybe
E3 is
somewhere. Is that a changeable one?
I don't know, but basically.
Guys, tweet at us if you know where
a whole
E3
lot
is
of
this
stuff
year at DinosaurMan15.
There's a whole lot of stuff room there to be there, but.
Because I need to book my ticket.
Sign ain't good. But that's the main thing that I'm looking forward to.
Mario Kart 9.
Mario Kart Triple Dash.
Mario Kart Nana 9.
You have
the N-Dubs crossover that we've all been waiting for. I'm going to choose Dappy and Yoshi.
I'm going to choose Thaisa and Daisy.
I'm going to choose Tulisa and Diddy Kong.
I'm going to choose the father of Tulisa and Dappy.
Is he a member of N-Dubs?
No, but there's only three members, isn't
it? I thought they were cousins. Phase is not related. Mm-hmm. No. Anyway.
I choose unlockable character, Mr. Hudson.
Yes, hello. You've unlocked me.
He did the
what,
song.
What can I do for you?
Did the song Playing With Fire with them.
I unlock Brian May with Dappy.
I unlock...
this is...
Tinchy Strider.
I think this is our worst
there we
yet,
go.
Isn't it?
Tinchy Strider. If you don't know N-Dubs and their back catalogue, that's all going to mean nothing to you.
Yeah, stop listening now, because we don't even want you as fans.
No, we do. Please carry on listening.
Nana 9!
Should we talk some movie news?
Yes. Okay, so here's an exciting thing. So you know how that reboot of Suicide Squad, a.k.a. Suicide Squash... Suicide Squad. You know how that was a complete reboot and nothing was going to get carried over? Mm-hmm. Seems like most things are going to get carried over in that Joel Kinnaman has now confirmed that Rick Flagg is returning, being played by Joel Kinnaman again. So here's the thing that I don't understand. Why lie?
Yeah, why pretend?
Why even lie to us, James Gunn?
Why pretend this isn't just a sequel?
Because he's the one who said, no, it's a reboot. And then he was like, but I'll carry over Harley Quinn.
I'll carry over... Maybe this is just because if it wasn't a reboot, they would have to include Will Smith. And they're like, Will Smith costs us a lot of money on his own.
So they're going to stick by it and they're going to return all of the other characters, barring Will Smith as Deadshot. And instead, who's like the modern day Will Smith?
Tom Holland.
You think Tom Holland is the modern day Will Smith? Interesting.
I just went for who's young?
Yeah.
Hold on, no. According to the trailer of Gemini Man, it's Will Smith.
Yes.
So maybe they just get Will Smith, but CGI'd as younger.
Or if you're in NASA in the 1960s, Gemini Man, because that's how they pronounce
that is how
Gemini
First Man.
Kyle Chandler doesn't know how to say
good
Gemini.
Work. Well done. All those people who watched First Man are there like, yes.
Or
brave.
If you're the female lead in King of Queens, maybe it would be Leah Rimini Man.
We're stopping this now. I'm calling a halt.
She's a survivor of Scientology. She released that film last year that was apparently very good. Anyway.
Did you watch the film?
No.
Then we will not talk about it.
Why would I watch something that denounced my religion?
I started watching that Louis Theroux documentary at one point, and then I never got through it for some reason.
Going Clear really is very good.
What's
Going Clear? It's from, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I think, about Scientology. Yeah, it's really good.
It's interesting that there's been so many documentaries about Scientology.
Isn't it weird that they only want to pursue the one true religion that is founded entirely in fact? don't want to go after all those other religions that are based on nonsense.
We
that
are,
I don't believe
we
in.
Are on shaky ground here.
We are getting political. Hang on. You know how they're famously litigious?
Yes.
The Scientologists.
You think it's us just mentioning them?
Do you think me claiming to be a Scientologist in my sort of manner that I'm a little bit of a cheeky scamp and I do things off book, off piste, if you will, do you think that they would take a front to that and say, you're really putting a bad name on Scientology? Yeah,
they look at you and they go, you're actually the people
you're not
we,
the kind
we,
of person
we don't
want,
want you to associate
us.
Yeah. As being a Scientologist.
All right, fine. I renounce Scientology.
Oh, now you've gone even worse.
Do you think that's worse?
I think I
never believed it in the first place?
I think so.
Okay.
I think they'd rather you believe, but never say that you believe.
Mm.
That way you're not denouncing
well,
it.
Big X-Files fan, so clearly, you know, I want to believe, but... DJ Tumbleweed in the house.
So yeah, it's basically a sequel. Is what we're
darn tootin', there goes that tumbleweed again.
It's basically a sequel. Is what
I'm creating what I would call an audio play.
You're creating what I call an ordeal. Like, I'm having a tough time.
I'm creating what I would call an ideal play. Just me. Anyway, one more bit of news. This is it. I didn't have much news, so I thought I'd just bulk it out with nonsense. It's not that. Okay, Rambo trailer. Tell me about it. What's even the subtitle for this Rambo trailer?
It's Rambo Last Blood.
What's the guarantee that it's maybe not the last blood? Have we not had enough Rambos?
Have we not had enough blood? Sylvester Stallone's back as Rambo. Mm-hmm. Now, he's got his knife still. He's setting traps. He's mm-hmm. at a farm.
Mm-hmm.
He, at one point, goes and has a punch-up with a load of people in
he's
a car park.
A whole village.
And then they come to the farm to try and kill him. But
where is he?
In a farm.
US or...?
Yeah, it looks like US.
Foreign.
No, it looks like US. Back in track seems it was doesn't seem to be it is Old Town Road by Little Nas X because you know that's how you use the popular at this moment in time.
I think Stallone's really into trap music.
Oh, he really likes Little Nas X and all of his output.
Do you think?
Yes,
his
one output of Old Town Road.
Yeah.
I watched a video a little off track.
Told you it was
a
busy week, guys.
Weird for us to, you know, do a segue or a little...
Oh, is this a segue?
Break. No, a little breakaway.
Oh, tangent, yeah.
That's tangent.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Looking for.
Very unknown of us. Unknown.
But there was a tweet that was put out and it really made me laugh because it's Little Nas X mm-hmm. performing Old Town Road to a bunch of elementary school children.
Okay.
Have you seen this?
No.
And they are going...
Ape shit.
Wild.
Yeah, of course.
Like, actually, in that like, you can hear him start, and immediately,
mm-hmm.
it's drowned out by just screaming children.
Mm.
Like, and they're like screaming
goes,
the words. Hold on.
I mean,
is this?
I don't know if we can get away with these screaming children might be copyrighted.
Hold on. I retweeted it on our page the other day.
Okay. Well, they can find it there then.
With a great little commentary because I'm a clever little boy.
Okay. Well, I mean, they can find it there is what I'm saying. You don't have to play it now.
Oh, God. I've done too many tweets. I don't know.
Okay. Find it on our Twitter feed.
Yeah, it's on our Twitter
@DinosaurMan15.
And it's just loads of kids going mental. But yeah. So Rambo, he has a knife. I spoke to somebody who loves...
I forgot that was the news.
Who loves Rambo.
Yeah.
Who
loves Rambo.
Yeah, yeah, like, loves the films. And they were disappointed that, you know, he's not got, like, the Rambo looking. Literally just looks like Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned because I'm... Because, okay, so I worry I don't know how much more Rambo we needed, mm-hmm. if anything.
Do you think it's taking him away from stuff that's more interesting? Obviously, like, the Escape Plan franchise that's now up to its third installment.
Well, no, this is the problem. Like, I think...
Him and Dave Bautista.
Stallone
and...
has got to this point where he is just kind of, like, churning out things that live off nostalgia.
Mm.
And actually, this could have been left well alone now. Mm-hmm. Like, we had, you know, the first couple of Rambo films are really good. And it could have now just been kind of put to bed and we just don't go back to it. And we remember what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering whether, because Stallone wants to still be these characters and these, I don't know why he always wants to go back, doesn't he? Like, he always wants, like, he could have walked away from Creed, like, the Creed franchise after Creed 1, you mm-hmm. know, but he's still around. And,
do you feel like it's because he thinks that people only respect him because of two franchises?
Maybe. It's almost like he feels that he has to be involved in which to keep it alive.
Mm.
Like, there's, if he wanted the Rambo series to start, like, it's almost like he sees this as his Logan. Like, if you look
but
at
they already did the old man John Rambo, and it wasn't good.
And that's what this one looks like it's going to be. And it, if you look at that trailer, it says to me, this is kind of like the way it's shot and like the way it is. It's like, oh, is this your Logan? But I don't see anything in that trailer that makes me go, oh, this is going to be like a heartfelt
right
film about
mainly because it's being potentially directed by Lil Nas X.
Yeah, yeah. And the Billy Ray Cyrus is directing this. So yeah, it's a franchise that I used to really like, but I don't even remember if I saw the last one.
Right.
And I saw the trailer and I was like, it had all the hallmarks of, let's get this trailer seen by as many people as possible, just by purely having that song in there, because I imagine Lil Nas X has probably retweeted it.
Do you think that the song is the reason that most people have watched it?
Yes.
Yeah. Probably true.
Yeah.
Probably true, mate. Adrian Grunberg is directing it. He is known primarily as the director of two other things. Here on Earth, one episode, TV series, and How I Spent My Summer Vacation, that Mel Gibson movie from about 5-6 years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember it.
The one that was seen as like, oh, Mel Gibson's back and it's probably okay to like him again. It was like, no, it's not. It really isn't. But he's, you know, he's been an assistant director on a bunch of big things before.
Yeah.
Jack Reacher, Edge of Darkness. He likes working with Mel Gibson. Problematic.
Shall we talk the third bit of news?
Apocalypto. Oh my God, it's just Mel Gibson as far as the eye can see.
Third bit of news. Studio yes. Ghibli is going to have a theme park.
We're opening, we at Studio Ghibli, we are opening a theme park. In 2022. Still a long way off. It's going to be an eco-friendly theme park. I don't know if you saw...
Where is this?
In Japan.
Okay.
So I will be making a pilgrimage there. I'll be documenting it on my Insta channel. So swipe up for Studio Ghibli.
Mm-hmm.
And links to all my merch on Teespring. Would it surprise you if I have got a Teespring store where I am selling T-shirts that just have my catchphrases from the show that we do?
No, it wouldn't.
Huh.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, sorry to burst your bubble. I don't have that. Thanks for rubbing it in my face.
So tell me about the Studio Ghibli theme park. Please.
It's not
going to
have
please
traditional. Okay,
it.
So it's not going to have traditional rides or anything. I don't know. The details are scarce at the moment.
Do you arrive at the park?
Mm-hmm.
And you get, it's a car park, and then you get onto a bus in the shape
the
of my neighbour, Totoro.
Yeah,
is that
you're going to get on a cat bus, they're going to make a cat bus.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And then Totoro will be your
tour
host.
Guide.
He'll be your tour
He's like,
guide.
Hey, it's me, Totoro, come give me a hug, because I'm giant.
And then there'll be that bit from Porco Rosso where you could be in a gunfight. That'll be exciting.
There's a point where they're like... Oh, if you turn up at the right time, you'll see the Ghibli castle.
Moving.
But unfortunately, because it's Howl's castle, it is no longer there at the moment. It will move back into place at some point.
It's just on rails. And it goes, look, it's Howl's moving castle.
I'm so good at knowing my Ghibli.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully it will leave you with your spirit being spirited away to a land of... exciting, fun, happy-go-lucky, childish adventure.
There's a red turtle there. Not Ghibli?
Sort of. It's a co-production.
There you go. It counts. So what kind of thing are we expecting to actually see here?
Like, we're expecting to see things based on all of their properties, but they've already said they're not going to be traditional theme park rides. I am curious as to what that means. I think it might just be a walk through a forest, basically, because they've claimed that they're not going to cut down a single tree to have this theme park come to life. because if you've watched any of Studio Ghibli's films, there is a lot of environmentalism messages in there.
Maybe they're just going to the base level of what a theme park is, which is a themed park.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be a national park that is going to be themed around some sort of fluffy adventures.
Yes.
So that'll be good. I'll go and you can come. Would you like to come with me?
Yeah. Well, okay. I've been asking you to come to Japan with me so much. It's not in Tokyo. Saying no.
Sorry, mate.
Doesn't matter. We'll go to all of Japan.
We'll go to all of Japan. You've just lied to the listeners. We're going to all of Japan. All of Japan. Who has the
multiple bases in
Japan? How much holiday do you get that you can go to all of Japan?
I'm going
to
take like 3 weeks off and go around Japan.
All of Japan. I do think that if we do this, by the way, we should do a Japan rail holiday. I think that'd be quite exciting. I think I'd be quite enjoying that. Basically, I watched a program by Michael Portillo once, where he travelled.
Trains of the world with me, Michael Portillo.
Yeah, he's a big train fan. You know this.
Here I am on the Polo Express.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. He's in the Polar Express. Do you not remember? It's Tom Hanks and Michael Portillo at the start of that.
But he's animated.
He's real live action. He's just there with all Robert Zemeckis' weird looking fucking half Tom Hanks things.
He's like, this train's gone crazy.
There's just one scene where they walk by a cabin and you see Michael Portillo speaking to a cameraman, both of whom are real. And then they turn and look and go, great party, isn't it? And that's also a Shining reference, so it all works nicely. Anyway, should we do a rail holiday just like Michael Portillo did? I'll make you watch the Michael Portillo program. It was kind of interesting.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know how to sell that program.
Look, I didn't like him as a politician, but as a travel host, it's pretty good. Shits on Palin, mate. Shits on Palin.
A lot of people said the same about Thatcher. Terrible politician, but her segments on Wish You Were Here, second to none.
Yeah, she was there like, oh.
Here I am in Liverpool.
Here I am in my hometown of Grantham. Reasons to come to Grantham. Nope, still none. In your face, Grantham, you suck. It's near us is the problem. They can probably hear us from here. Should we just do reviews?
Yeah.
We've gone long. And so, I'll be honest, there's not a lot. If you actually boil down
I apologize to all the listeners. If you've got to this point in the podcast, I apologize.
I don't apologize.
I offer to edit. Because I feel there is definitely stuff to cut.
I've recommended a couple of things here. I've recommended Michael Portillo's train program, specifically about Japan, but, you know, any of them are good. There's a couple of British Railways ones, which are fun. And what was the other thing I recommended? Mona the Vampire?
You spoke about Donnie Wahlberg. About 10 minutes about...
Check your shower for Donnie Wahlberg, guys, tonight before you go to bed. Otherwise, you might get shot in the chest by him. If you used to be a child psychologist, of course. Anyway, Andy, you've seen two films this week. I've seen none. You're going to tell me all about them, starting with Booksmart.
Is that where you want to start?
You're doing the reviews, mate, but I've just painted you into a corner.
Okay, Booksmart is the feature debut film by Olivia Wilde.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been described as super bad for girls.
Yes.
The film basically follows two best friends who they've studied hard all the way through high school, put everything in, and they get into good colleges, only to find out that all the kids who went out and partied and, you know, didn't really care about their education, so to speak, also got into good colleges. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we focused so hard on studying, we never actually got to live the high school experience. We've got one day left of high school. Let's go to a party. Let's go enjoy ourselves once so that we can say we had that experience. And they kind of do that, and the film then follows them trying to go out and have that experience. It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the film is really great. It's this beautiful story about friendship, about how your true friend is basically you finding somebody's weird who matches your weird and kind of making that kind of match up. So, you know, it's that kind of thing of when they're getting dressed, they'll look at each other And they'll do this thing where they'll go, "Oh my god, you have taken my breath away. I've never seen anyone as perfect." And then they respond with just, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did a princess walk into the room?" All this kind of stuff. Like, it's really, really well written. Of just this kind of, like, you believe that these two characters are best friends. Mm-hmm. I think the writing is really good.
Yeah,
that it feels like a high school experience. There's a whole lot of stuff you can relate to. And it talks a lot about kind of the sacrifices of, like, the thing that you don't think about with friendship as well, like the sacrifices of friendship and kind of the stuff that you do put to one side by having this kind of close bond, that sometimes you do make sacrifices, and how you kind of balance each other out. But at the same time, it's all about acceptance and wanting to be seen is by other people as, you know, be seen by other people, really, actually spreading the message. Which is just a really, really nice message about kind of this yearning to be accepted, but actually having somebody who accepts you already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's so much that you can get from it in terms of, I watched it and I went, I've seen that, there's moments where I looked at it and went, oh, that's the friendship me and you have. Sure. And I go, oh, I can see points in that. It's incredibly funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they say it's super bad for girls, that kind of does it an injustice.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that's basically going is, oh, look, ladies can have one too. But actually, it's his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's his own thing. Like, you know, Superbad was all about, you know, let's go out and get laid or whatever. This is actually all about, you know, let's go and live life.
Yeah.
And the, I can't remember the other girl's name. Bernie Feldstein is one of them. Kate something, I think her name is.
Caitlin Endeavor.
There you go. Their performance is great.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff that they do is brilliant. But what's also nice is at no point does this film look down on anyone. Like, it's not got any kind of put down humour.
Okay.
You know, it's very accepting. It has people of all kind of races, all kind of sexualities, lit all throughout without any kind of reference to it. And it's not mean to any kind of group.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really inclusive. And it's nice to see such a kind of multicultural or
and a film that isn't cynical.
Yes, and they all kind of work, they all weave in between each other, mm-hmm. and their characteristics all actually make this film a really kind of collaborative experience. So yeah, I think it's great. The performances are great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got a really nice message to it. You will laugh. I think it's definitely got a demographic that will get a lot out of this. Like, there was at least three groups of young, kind of, I'd say, early 20s, kind of late teens girls in the audience I was in, and they were there as groups, and I think the impression I got was they were all absolutely loved it, and they could kind of connect with what they're seeing on screen. But at the same time, there was, like, I was there on my own, there was another guy in front of me who's there on his own, which I thank the heavens for, because very early on, he laughed incredibly loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, okay, if we're doing this, if we're doing loud laughs throughout this, I'm cool. Because there's at least two or three moments that are so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you want a laugh, but you also want a film with a bit of heart behind that,
mm-hmm.
this is great. And for a directorial debut,
mm-hmm.
there's some stuff in here that's really interesting. Like, there's some stuff that she's done kind of in the directorial fashion that's really interesting to see. Kind of mm-hmm. it kind of mixes kind of genres at some points. And yeah, I think it's a film that has a lot of heart to it. And is absolutely worth seeing.
It's interesting. I've just had a look. So there's four writers credited on the film. And their credits previously range from all sorts of, you know, lots of comedy background anyway. But things like Hot Pursuit, which I was not a fan of when I watched it silently on the plane. Isn't It Romantic, which you obviously reviewed earlier this year. The yes. Netflix Rebel Wilson thing. But then things like The Spy Who Dumped Me,
mm-hmm.
as well. Jesse and Celeste Forever, you remember that one? The Andy Samberg, Rashida Jones okay, thing. Yeah. Get Him to the Greek. So there's some interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it's very interestingly written, and the fact that they seem to have got down that sort of environment. And the most important thing, the thing that this film lives and dies on, is getting those two central characters correct, and making you believe that those two central characters from the off are best friends.
Yeah.
Like, you know, inseparable. And they really nail in doing that. Mm. Like, really do. But yeah, I would 100% recommend it to pretty much anyone.
Okay.
Like, I don't think there's anyone I wouldn't recommend it to unless you're, you know, a child. Because there's some quite blue language in there and some quite stuff quite in there.
Blue language.
Nice. And there's some quite stuff. There's some stuff in there that a little bit close to the bone in terms of jokes.
Okay, cool.
But it's great. So, really good.
All right.
Like, it's one of my favourite films of this year so far. Like, genuinely, I had a whole lot of fun.
Sure. Cool. All right. Let's move on. Godzilla, King of the Monsters. The question's been answered now.
Yes, I love this one.
Yeah. So, is the new Godzilla film.
Mm-hmm.
Follow-up to 2014's Godzilla. And 2017's Kong Skull Island.
Technically, yeah.
In the same universe.
There are definitely references to Kong throughout. And it's littered, literally, throughout. And if you clock them, you clock them. But it's not necessary to have seen Kong to understand it.
Okay.
Well, it is kind of important to have seen the original Godzilla. You can't just jump into this. So you would have to have seen 2014's Godzilla. So this follows on from that movie where after the last time and the Titans had appeared, like these Mutos, that Godzilla had come and saved everyone from them.
Yeah.
He's been basically gone off into hiding, but they kind of keep an eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
And this story picks up from that point and starts literally from a point of view of going, in this 5 or 6 years since then, I think it's 5 years because I think it's to the actual date it goes, in these 5 years, we have found hundreds more of these Titans.
Mm-hmm.
They used to roam the Earth. They used to be basically the gods of this world. And we found them and we're keeping an eye on them. And the Monarch Company, who are mentioned in both those previous films, are a company that basically finds Titans and decides what to do with them.
Right.
And there's people on the side of kill them. They're dangerous. We've seen what Godzilla can do. And there's people on the side of actually we preserve these because they are natural.
Mm-hmm.
Into that, you put Charles Dance, who is a eco-terrorist, who decides that his ploy is these things should be free. These are our rightful rulers and they should be free. And the story basically becomes a situation where Titans are being released and Godzilla is then brought into this picture because of bad Titans.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the story.
Okay.
With this film, I will say, so I loved 2014's Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people didn't like it because of, you know, limited screen time for Godzilla. There's like eight minutes, I think, in total of him acting on screen. And you get a lot more for your money in this one. With this film, it is basically, like, if you want to see Titans fight each other and Kaiju fight each other, this is your film.
Mm-hmm.
Because that happens a lot. Probably to the detriment of the film at times. Because what you have is you have a lot of big fighting and crashy-bashy, as you like to say.
Crashy-bashy.
And then you have a little bit of, oh, here's some human interaction. And then crashy-bashy. And oh, there's a little bit of human interaction. And crashy-bashy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the film. It's either right up or it's right down.
Okay.
And the human stuff isn't written well enough to justify the links to it.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is the stuff that is to do with the Titans looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely, like, it's some of the most beautiful stuff I've seen, like, in a long time. Like, in terms of creature design and animation, looks absolutely stunning. Like, King Ghidorah in this, like, is a dragon with three heads, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And each head works independently of each other. And it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely beautiful. And especially if you are a fan of creature design, this is something that you should see, like, in terms of, that's amazing. And when they fight each other and the way Godzilla moves and the way that, you know, these other creatures that you see move, like the four main ones that you get are Godzilla, Ghidorah, Rodan, who's basically like a giant vulture, fire vulture thing, and Mothra, who's a giant moth.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the main ones you see. And those creature designs are absolutely stunning.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other Titans in this that are maybe not so well designed because it's almost like they've just gone, that one's a big crab.
Right.
That one's a big turtle. That one's an elephant. You know, so it's like, oh yeah, the creature design looks amazing on the ones that you know. Mm-hmm. The ones where they've had to kind of think about it, it's not so great.
But Elephant Man, I love him.
But
it was a different film though.
But yeah, so it's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's, like I said, it's so uneven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are some decent performances. Like, Carl Chandler does it, does as best he can. Is it Carl Chandler?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Does as best he can in this. You know, Vera Farmiga,
mm-hmm.
Millie Bobby Brown, you know, these people are in it. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is completely wasted mm-hmm. because we've seen before what he can bring to a film.
Sure.
You know, in Ingrid Goes West, he's one of the best things in that film. Like, mm-hmm.
That's a film full of good things.
Yes. And but we've seen him in other things. What else was he in that we said he was really good in?
Straight Outta Compton?
There's something else that we saw that I think we said, you know, he's really good.
Oh, was it a recent thing, probably?
Potentially.
Yeah.
But, you know, he can bring a whole lot of kind of heart and levity, but also just a really good performance. And I think he's completely wasted because he's not important.
Was it Den of Thieves?
And he... And this is what happens with a lot of the cast. A lot of the cast, it's just a kind of thing of just they're there, but we're not really doing it. Like, Charles Dance doesn't really do anything
mm-hmm.
in the film. You know, he's there to kind of be foreboding Charles Dance at times
mm-hmm.
Because they're not important. And that's the way the film looks at it.
Yeah.
It goes, the humans aren't important here. What's important is people want to see monsters fight. And I, trust me, I am the biggest proponent of wanting to see monsters fight each other. But at the same time, I need something to make me feel like there is jeopardy to the humans and have a reason for why I care about them.
Sure.
And that's what the film is missing completely. I would never lie and say that the film isn't beautiful because at times, like, some of the shots in this are stunning, like genuinely stunning. But that doesn't sell any kind of emotion for me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame, because I was really looking forward to this, and I think it is one of those where, like, on our rating scale, it's a that'll do pig, because I think there is something in this film that I wish... So I think I was saying this to you afterwards, like, when it looks to would I recommend it or not, I would normally say, just wait for it to come out on DVD or on a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
But there is stuff in this that should be seen on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that actual action and some of those shots belong on the big screen. But at the same time, they're going, yeah, but also it's like 2 hours, 10 minutes. It's long. Like, it's a long film, and you feel that at times. It's draining. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely smack bang in the middle of just, can I recommend it or not? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to just say middle ground. If it's something that you're interested in, probably go and give it a chance. Like, but don't expect any kind of depth to it.
Booksmart's the real winner this week,
though. Absolutely. And Booksmart is on limited showings as well.
Mm-hmm.
As is Thunder Road, which was mentioned a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that site in major cinemas now.
So
but it's on,
I've
like,
seen that. I was like, oh my God, he took my advice.
It's on, I'm going to watch it at some point, hopefully.
It's got like one showing a week.
Yeah, it's limited showings. So try and catch that as well.
I mean, I did have a look through the Cineworld app, which gives away exactly who we give our corporate dollar to. It's showing in like 10 Cineworlds. That's it.
Yeah.
And one of them is Nottingham, to be honest.
So yeah, try.
You never know.
Try
if you
and
can
catch
see
it again.
Smaller theatres should be having it. If they don't have it now, they may well have it in the next couple of weeks. Do check it out.
But yeah, so yeah, Booksmart's absolutely the winner. And like I said, Godzilla, it's just disappointing more than anything. I'm just, not in the sense that, like, no, in the end of year awards, we normally have a most disappointing category. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to fit there, because at the same time, when it
didn't
is
disappoint. What you wanted it
what
to
I
do.
Want the bits I wanted it to have, which was these kaiju fights and this incredible mm-hmm. action, it looking beautiful like the trailer showed. It had that, and it
question
delivers that.
For you. Too many monsters?
No. So there's four, basically. There are more.
Yeah.
Like, there was a point where there was a hell of a lot more, and they mentioned a lot more. But actually, technically, the only ones you ever focus on are four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously one of those being the titular Godzilla. Has a lot of lore in it, though.
Mm.
Like, a lot of kind of almost impenetrable lore.
I might see it. I don't know.
I'd be interested. I think out of two films...
I'm very tired.
You do this a lot where you're like, oh, do you like this? I don't think you'd like this film or not. I think out of two of them, I think Booksmart would be right up your street.
Yeah.
And I think it would be up pretty much anyone's street. I think everyone would probably pretty much enjoy it.
Okay.
I don't know if you would like Godzilla.
I'll see one. I'll maybe see both for next week, and I'll let
you
know.
If you get a chance, I'd be very interested to know what you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm leaning towards the fact that I don't think you would like it, and I don't think the stuff that really paid off for me in it, I don't think would do it for you.
Might also catch Ma this week. Already my week's filling up with old movies.
Someone's got to watch Ma, and I'll watch X-Men Dark Phoenix. So
that's
the trade-off. Off. Yeah, you go see Ma.
Fine.
Although I was interested in Ma. I might see Ma.
Why don't you see Ma?
I might do both.
Don't go upstairs.
I'll definitely...
She lives in a bungalow. There's no upstairs.
Don't go upstairs the movie. But I'll definitely see Dark Phoenix by next week. But yeah, so that's kind of where we have to leave it. It's an absolute recommend for one, Booksmart. And it's a potentially depending on how you feel on Godzilla. It's a really weird one in terms of actually trying to sum it up because it's such a mix.
Sure. Okay.
I don't know if you have any questions about it, but
that's where we're going to have to leave it, guys. As always, you've been lovely.
You've been lovely.
No, not you. The fucking audience.
That's a shame.
I don't know, have they? No, they've been horrible shits. So that's where we're going to have to leave it. As always, you can find us on Facebook and on iTunes. I was trying to say Twitter, but I said SciTunes. Mm-hmm. You can find us on
iTunes, Stitcher,
Buzzsprout, Facebook, Spotify, all of those.
Dinosaur Man. Apart from, I haven't changed Facebook yet. That's still Dinosaur Man Nerdcast, but everywhere else it should be Dinosaur Man.
And now Dinosaur Man 15 on Twitter, yes. As it always has been. That's never changed. 15 Dinosaur Men, 13 of them have left. We're the two survivors. It's like we've survived some kind of horrible massacre.
But yeah, thank you to Johnny Knees as ever for the theme song.
This time it was bleep bloop noises like from an engine.
Because of?
Very tired boy. Because I've been driving.
Thank you to me as well. Until next time, goodbye.